The Volume.
The Draymond Green Show is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to bet the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. It's easy to use. It's safe and secure. You get payouts in as fast as 2 hours. There's so many bet types. My favorite, same game parlay bets. There's live betting, player props, futures. If you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. To get started now, sign up. Please use the promo code COLIN, COLIN. FanDuel Sportsbook makes it easy.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Draymond Green Show. This is our 14th episode, and boy, do we have a great show this week. Extremely excited about this one. I think it's the best conversation with a guest that we've had to date. And that's obviously no shade to all our guests that we've had, because I think it's been incredible. The podcast has been getting incredible ratings and views, and just a lot of people reaching out and saying that, you know, it's been a great listen for them, and it's a real listen. So I am thankful for that. I'm thankful to everyone who tunes in and listens every week. And most importantly, thankful to everyone who's taking the time out to come on the podcast, share their stories. It's incredible. And it's always extremely fun for me to do. And so, but this convo was very good. It was very insightful. And it was with none other than the top NBA top 75 player, perennial all-star, brother of mine, gold medalist, Dame Lillard. And we talked about his injury recovery. We talked about the CJ trade. And we also talked about his future in Portland and a lot more. We probably talked for about an hour, and it was incredible. So I'm looking forward to everyone having the opportunity to listen to that interview. But before we get to that, as you know, we like to go around the world, around the association, and just share a few thoughts. So we'll start today with, obviously, I tweeted last night about one of the most respectful statements. And I know everybody's like, oh, man, what is he talking about? And the reason I said one of the most respectful statements, because as a competitor, as someone who's currently in this league, I always say the most important respect you can get when in this league is from your peers. It's from other players. It's from the guys that you go up against every single day. It's from the guys, not only do you go up against every single day, but also the guys that are in your locker room that you take to court with every single day. So that is the most respect you can get, which is why I said this is one of the most respectful statements I can say. Obviously, we just got through All-Star Weekend, which, let me tell you, was one of the most incredible weekends the NBA can possibly produce. It was amazing. I mean, from All-Star Weekend being in Cleveland, LeBron James. I mean, LeBron was essentially Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg hosting the Super Bowl. That's what LeBron was to this. He and Rich Paul and Maverick Carter, Randy, that's what they were to this All-Star Weekend. And I don't know, most people obviously don't know them personally well, but let me tell you, they know how to host. And not only in Cleveland for All-Star, but they do it the right way. Maverick has this saying, he always says, hey, Dre, he's two things. He say, hey, Dre, a lot of people has done it. I don't know if any has done it better. He always says that. And another statement he always says is, who's having more fun than us? Like, you can't find someone having more fun than us. And I agree. And obviously, and being a part of the family, you know, you just see all the ins and outs and how fun it is and the great business moves that lead to more fun and so on and so forth. So they were the host of the weekend, which obviously they blew it out the water. But just being surrounded by greatness, like, you can't script that any better. Now, here's where the statement comes in at. LeBron James and Steph Curry, two guys born in the same hospital in Akron, Ohio, goes back to Cleveland. Steph obviously played against LeBron in NBA Finals, Warriors versus Cavs. The boos were raining in. Anytime they mentioned my name or Steph's name, the boos were raining in. All of these things. And then Steph comes out and hits 16 threes and go for 50. MVP. Scripted, right? LeBron James comes out. You know, he's doing LeBron. He's dunking a little bit, but you can tell he's out there. He's not going for the MVP, but he's dunking a little bit, putting on the show. But then LeBron James gets the ball in the mid post. We all know what move he's going to. We all know before he even shoots the ball, this ball is going in. Like, you just felt it. Scripted, right? What Steph Curry and LeBron James did this weekend was the exact reason people think they're so great at what they do that what they did this weekend further led people on to think the NBA is scripted. I mean, you can't draw it up any better than the way it happened. One guy goes for 50, breaks the record, shatters the record. He almost hit double the amount of threes than the previous record was. He probably broke that record with 6 minutes to go in the second quarter. Incredible. I know, matter of fact, he broke it early on in the third quarter. But you can't write it up any better. Again, that's two guys born in Akron, Ohio, which is 20 minutes away from Cleveland. Goes to Cleveland. One wins the MVP. The other, who's Cleveland's son, who owns that city, who put that city on the map, who brought them their only NBA championship in the history of the organization. Really, almost probably in the history of the city. You know, I got to throw that in there. My thing with Cleveland is going to stay my thing with Cleveland. But a guy who was sought out by Cleveland, they tanked to get him, didn't only live up to the hype, but surpassed it, which had to be nearly impossible to do. They actually did something that made everyone think, again, that the NBA is scripted. And you couldn't draw it up any better. Like, I'm sorry, but the NBA can script as much as they want. You can't script Steph Curry actually making 16 threes. Like, you actually have to go hit those shots with people running, flying at you, him shooting it right across. Like, you actually have to go make those shots. I'm not sure how that can be scripted. LeBron James, like, it was destined. Like, when he shot that ball, we all knew what was coming. Joel tried to double at the last second. No problem. The ball looked like it came out of Brian's hands. So nasty. It didn't look like the shot was going in. Of course, he cans it. You can't script that any better. He actually has to make that shot. Like, and so what my statement simply was those two guys are so great at what they do that they actually did something to further the notion of the NBA is actually scripted. And I was there to see it. I was there to witness it. And it was one of the most beautiful things. I hope everyone appreciated the greatness that was on display this past weekend in Cleveland. From top to bottom, the top 75 list. I hope everyone appreciated the greatness that was on display. Because I'll tell you who did. I did. And it was amazing. I truly enjoyed my role in the weekend with my TNT family. I hope everyone checked out the broadcast. Maybe next year, that'll be the number one broadcast. But next year, I'll also be playing, so we'll have to figure that out as well. But there are ways, and Craig Berry's great, and he's going to figure it out, as he always does. And I hope everyone enjoyed the telecast as much as I enjoyed being a part of it, because I thought it was incredible. So that's that. And I hope you guys, again, appreciate those two guys, because they are legends. And no, it does not matter which one is better or who did this. They both are legends. They're both born in Akron, and they both led you on to think the NBA was scripted due to their greatness. The three-point contest, I truly enjoyed. I thought it was incredible. It was great to see Cat become the first big man to win it since 2012, since Kevin Love, who was also a Minnesota Timberwolf at the time. I thought that was incredible. I actually chose Cat to win, as you know, because, as I said before, it's not much movement. He does not jump, so it's no extra wasted energy. It's literally him picking the ball up, boom, boom, boom. It's no wasted energy. And so I actually thought Cat will win. Cat did win. Kudos to him. He shoots the lights out of the ball. And this is the best year he's had shooting it. He's shooting it at a career clip. But you saw this coming. Like, you've seen this over the years coming. His shot, taking more and more of them. And the more that he's taken over the years, the better his percentages has gotten. So I thought that was absolutely incredible. Congratulations to Cat. Well-deserved, incredible shooter. Definitely probably the best shooting big man that we have in the league. And, you know, you have some specialists, and so you maybe can find a specialist big that can shoot better than him. But someone with the whole entire package like Cat has, Cat will give you a bucket any way you want it. Dribble, post, three, step back, you name it, he's giving you all of those buckets. So he's the best at doing that. You got to give him his credit. He shoot the lights out. Three-point champion. Congratulations to Cat. Job well done, my friend. Way to hold it down for the bigs. That's two for Cat now. That's Cat. Got a skills competition, and that's also another one for Cat, three-point competition. Maybe he'll go to the dunk contest next year, which is a totally different story. I mean, there's been a lot of riffraff and a lot of talk on the dunk contest. Quite frankly, I thought it was terrible. I thought it was bad. I didn't really enjoy it much. What I did enjoy was watching Juan Toscano-Anderson compete on the biggest stage. That's a guy who got it out the mud straight from 95th Street in Oakland, who did a G League tryout, paid for a G League tryout, made the team, continued to work, gets a training camp invite from the Warriors, gets cut, goes back to the G League, continues to work, get a call up, and obviously we know the rest is history. So to see him on that stage and only be one dunk away from winning the slam dunk competition, I thought was incredible. And if there was anything that I enjoyed from that dunk contest, which it wasn't many moments to enjoy, it was that. Because I thought that was incredible. That's pure. That's what we all love. You love to see the guy get it out the mud, underdog, and make it to that stage. And so kudos to Juan Toscano-Anderson. Congratulations to Obi Toppin. But yeah, the dunk contest has to be figured out, because it was not. That used to be the marquee event. There was a time where the dunk contest was more important than the actual All-Star game. Not quite anymore. I mean, the three-point contest was the marquee event this year. But in the same token, the three-point shot is the most important shot in the NBA. So it makes sense of why that would take precedent. You think about the NBA back in the day, it's all about slashing, getting to the cup, highest flyer, tough, physical, tough as nails. Nobody's really shooting a three. That was condemned. And Everybody talked about if you live by the three, you die by the three. And so it wasn't a big thing. And so the reality is it makes sense of why that was more of the marquee event, because the NBA is built on three-point shooting right now, thanks to Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. So I get it, but something has to happen because it was not great. I'm not sure there was many things that took place during the dunk contest that got you out of your seat. And, of course, we saw Kareem Abdul-Jabbar infamously walking out of the dunk contest mid-dunk. So, and I also told y'all Jalen Green was the guy who has the most bounce, and he's going to try to do so much and miss the dunks. I knew it. I knew it because he's supposed to win. Like, all the pressure's on him to do something spectacular. If he do normal dunks, he doesn't win. So he has to do something spectacular. So I don't know, man. You can see it coming. It's kind of the same thing every year. The guy who's supposed to win doesn't really win. You think back to James White, the high flyer, dunks from the free throw line. Win. Like, those guys, they're supposed to win, and they just never win. Zach LaVine was supposed to win. He did win. But most guys don't. So I thought that was very interesting. Or lack thereof of interest. But we'll see. The NBA has done a great job of revamping things for All-Star Weekend to keep the energy going. And I have no doubt in my mind they'll figure something out with the dunk contest to make it more interesting. So we'll see. And we'll wait and see until next year, which is another All-Star Weekend that I'll be at. I'll be playing this time around. And lastly, before we get to the Dame interview, because it was a pretty long one, so for the sake of time, we'll try to keep this open a little shorter. But before we talk about the Dame interview, I have to say something. Like, it's absolutely necessary that I say something about the Juwan Howard situation. In part due to, I hate Michigan Wolverines. Like, I'm all the way good on them. So anytime to see their programs in turmoil is always fun for me, because why not? I'm a Michigan State guy. I'm a Spartan through and through. They hate us. We hate them. It's no surprise there. It is what it is. So anytime that happens, and not necessarily the incident with Juwan Howard, but anytime their programs are in turmoil, fire Harbaugh, like, I enjoy that. Let me say that first. Now, Juwan Howard, it baffles me how no one spoke about the guy grabbing his arm as he's walking through the handshake line. It's almost as if he walked up to someone and punched them in their eye, no word said, premeditated, I made up my mind, I'm walking up to you and I'm punching you in your eye. That's what the narrative around this thing feels like to me. No one's talking about his arm being grabbed. It's a reason Juwan didn't apologize. I have the utmost respect for him for not apologizing. At the end of the day, you did it. It's done. It is what it is. If you ultimately want to reach out to that guy and apologize to him for punching him, totally fine. But the whole, he needs to get in a press conference right after, he haven't had time to process his thoughts, hasn't had time to go through, and this whole notion of he needs to get in a press conference and apologize right away, miss me with that. That's ridiculous. You did it. It is what it is. You have to live with it regardless if you apologize or not right then. You take it on the chin, you continue to move. And I'm so happy I didn't go to the University of Michigan, as I almost did. Because the way their athletic director comes out immediately, like, oh, I reached out to them and I apologize. My man, have you even had an opportunity to talk to your coach yet? You came out with this statement within a couple hours of this thing happening. I've reached out to them and apologized. Like, number one, Ward Manuel, like, you're not involved directly. Now, you have to make decisions, but you reaching out, apologizing, you're almost saying as if Juwan was wrong. Was he wrong for punching him? Absolutely. Okay, we all know you keep a certain level of professionalism, blah, blah, blah. But you didn't ask their athletic director to reach out to you and apologize about their head coach grabbing Juwan's arm. But I reached out to them. Our president is reaching out to the chancellor to apologize. Like, stop it. Like, how about have that man back instead of just throwing him under the bus like that? How about coming out and supporting him and saying, I don't agree with what Juwan did, but ultimately I stand in support of our coach. I will handle and we will handle and discipline as we see fit. But let us further figure out what happened first, as opposed to, oh, we apologized already and we can't. Like, stop it. That's ridiculous. So I thought that was pathetic. Yet it wasn't surprising to me because I know how they are up there. I'm always rolling with the Spartans. I'm rolling with Tom Izzo. But the fact that there was no support from the people that's supposed to be on his side, it just further validates why I chose the green and white and not scum up the highway, because I couldn't believe that. That was baffling to me that their athletic director ran out like that, apologizing and not supporting his coach. I hope Juwan say, forget y'all rest of the season suspension. I'm out of here. You can have that. That's what I'm hoping for. But we'll see. We know how it goes. Whatever. I thought it was absolutely ridiculous. Also suspended for the rest of the season. Can we also know what the assistant, because see, as someone who's been suspended from very important things, there's also two sides to it. And I've been in trouble before for coming into a scrum after the fact in the NBA saying, you escalated the situation. So how does this guy, Joe Krabbenhoff, not get anything for coming in and escalating the situation? Now, obviously, you got punched in your face, so you did get something. But he gets absolutely nothing for coming in and escalating the situation. And the guy who grabbed Juwan runs out scotch-free? So does he get anything? Like, nothing happens for him running out and grabbing that man's arm? Like, he's not your friend. You run and grab his arm? That's ridiculous. In 2022, you can't even grab your kid arm without getting in trouble. You're going to grab the arm of another grown man in a heated situation? That's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So I absolutely hated the way Michigan's athletic director came out and did that, showed no support for Juwan in coming out and do that. I absolutely hate the fact that no one's talking about him grabbing Juwan's arm. And I absolutely hate the fact that no one's talking about Krabbenhoff coming in and escalating the situation and ultimately getting punched in his face. But it's not a Michigan State thing, so ultimately it is what it is. I really don't care. That's just that. We'll move on from that. Good, Michigan's in turmoil. I love it. But let me welcome in my brother, Olympic gold medalist, six-time NBA All-Star, Rookie of the Year, cornerstone of the Portland Trail Blazers, and NBA top 75 performer, Dame Dolla.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Man, I'm honored to have this next guest on, a guy who I've now had the opportunity to play with win a gold medal with, but someone who I have the utmost respect for, that I've kind of built a that I have built a bond with. And it's funny because it just kind of happened, like right at the combine. We was in the draft together, sixth overall pick of our draft, but just kind of had that same underdog coming up and just clicked right off the bat. You know, has become a brother of mine, built a lifelong relationship that'll go far beyond our basketball years. And I think that grew even stronger and getting some hardware together in the gold medal. But I'm honored to have you on, Dane. Welcome to the Draymond Green Show, my brother.
Appreciate it, bro.
Six-time All-Star. First off, man, how you feeling? Obviously, we know you're coming off the injury. Well, you had surgery. Yeah. You're trying to rehab back from the injury. How you feeling, first off?
I should have listened to y'all, bro. Y'all told me to do it. I should have just got it done. But, I mean, I had to do what I had to do. I ended up getting that surgery where our team was at. It just made sense. You know what I mean? And just go ahead and correct it and move forward. But, I mean, it ain't a bad surgery. You know what I mean? It was like, you know, it's an aggressive recovery. So I had surgery on January 13th and at like 6 a.m. And then on the 14th at 6 a.m., I had therapy, yoga. It was like right away, just like, get back moving, start attacking it and building that strength back up. And since then, it's just been every day, bro. Just rehab, all that. So, I mean, I'm back on the move now. Just cutting, sprinting, jumping and stuff like that. Now it's just a matter of, you know, strengthening my adductors and that groin area, my hips, and getting my core back strong. But I'm getting there quick, bro. Like, I'm moving. I'm just not in a rush.
No, that's beautiful seeing. As you saw, I said on, I think, Instagram, like, this dude finally going to get the surgery. It made me happy. And
this is the thing, to my defense, bro, I didn't realize how hurt I was until now when I'm walking around and I'm doing stuff. Yeah. I didn't realize how hurt I was, bro. Like, I knew I was hurt, but I didn't know I was hurt like that. You know what I mean?
It's funny because the reality is, we're all, like you just said, we're all telling you, like, Dame, get the surgery. Dame, get the surgery. And the reality is, you're stubborn as hell, and you don't listen. But what most people don't understand is that's actually what makes you great, is that you are stubborn, that you do carry that chip on your shoulder. And so it wasn't ironic to me that you wouldn't listen to none of us tell you get surgery.
I almost did, bro, but I was like, I think I'm cool. until my ass couldn't move, I was like, man, I should have got that damn shit. But it's all good.
It's I don't think people really understand. There was a lot of talk after the Olympics. You know, Dame don't look healthy, this. And then, you know, you rehab, took a break, you rehab, then you come in for training camp.
Yeah.
And you having those days still, but people don't understand when we were over in Tokyo and seeing you not be able to practice and seeing you like, hey man, I'm hurting today, but tomorrow it'll loosen up again and it'll loosen up again and I'll be able to play. Like, I don't think people really understand what you were going through over there. So like, walk them through, and I can help with that, but walk them through what you were going through in the Olympics and still continue to fight through, continue to help us win that gold medal?
I mean, I think the number one thing for me, bro, is I ain't even comfortable with excuses, you feel me? So my main thing was like, shit, I just got to find a way to get through it. But I think what it came down to is it had been getting worse every season. You know what I'm saying? Like, at first it was like, all right, I got to get treatment and then feel better for the next couple of games. And then it'll be like bothering me. I get in the cold tub, get a massage, and I'll be good for a month. Then the next year, it was like every week I got to be on the table before and after practice. And then the next year, it was like I do the same stuff. It ain't really helping. And then last season, it was bothering me the whole season. Like the whole year, I'm like struggling. Like in between games, I'm trying to walk up my stairs and like my shit is completely locked up. So I'm like, I start realizing like I'm really hurt. then I stopped being able to explode like vertical when I was running full speed. When usually I can just pop up there. I'm like, damn, I can't run fast and jump, but run fast, change direction and go off 1 foot. So we get to the playoffs, and during the playoffs, like I was getting so much treatment and, you know, doing medication and stuff like that to where I was able to have a good playoff. We lost. And I started getting ready for the Olympics. So after a long season, and then I kept training, then went to Vegas, and then was there for 3 weeks, and then went to the Olympics, and shit, it pretty much just gave out on me. Like, it was done, bro. And the whole time we was there, I was like, bro, this ain't the experience I planned to have on the court. It was already, yeah, like half the experience just being there because we couldn't do nothing. So, but on the court, I'm like, shit, I'm finna play with Dre. I'm playing with KD. I'm playing with all these people. I'm finna hit 8 threes a game. I'm finna get some dunks. We finna have some fun. And then it's like, you get there, I can't really move. My shit hurt. And I couldn't even walk normal. So I'm like, as long as we don't leave here without winning this gold medal, like, I'm cool. Like, we just gotta win a gold medal. KD just telling me, you know, in between timeouts, like, bro, just, we just gonna need you to hit a big shot. We just gonna need you to do this, do that. I'm like, if I can do anything, I can do that, bro. Like, I can't, I mean, I ain't gonna be out there playing all these minutes, which I didn't need to. But, you know, I can have some moments. And, you know, we accomplished what we went over there to accomplish. And, you know, I'm just happy I was able to get through it. But after that, it was all downhill. You know what I'm saying? That's why I said I should have just had the surgery, because after the Olympics, I took a bunch of time off. But then when I came back to training camp, it was like the first day we started, like, moving around. We got to the end of the day, and I was just like, you know when you know something, but you don't want to tell nobody because you're like, man, I'm fucked, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, it's past the point. Like I got to camp, and I was just like, after the first day, I knew at training camp, like, it ain't never been this bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could at least practice a little bit. I got up the next day, and, like, it was done, bro. Like, it was done. So that was it. But, I mean, it is what it is. I never really thought a whole lot about, you know, what other people were saying, because you got to ask the people who've experienced the injury to really know, because it's hard to explain. So you don't want to be explaining this shit and then sounding like you just making a bunch of shit up. So, you know, I just didn't say nothing, and I'm still not going to say nothing. I just handled it so I can get healthy. And then when I'm healthy and then they see me, they're going to be like, something's wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
When they see how I return, they're going to be like, damn, you know, like something was really wrong. And that's all I really care about, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. is being healthy when I know I wasn't healthy.
No, no doubt. And I think for me, who already had a bunch of respect for you, I gained even more respect, you know, in going through those times. Me having to go to Coach Pop, like, yo, take Dame out of practice. Like, he not going to come out. Like, right. He hurting. You know, like, he can barely move. Like, just let's get him out of practice. At least we can get him for the game tomorrow. So I gained a bunch of respect for that, or for you, and just watching you handle that. You know, but and moving forward, obviously, and now, can we expect you back this year, or should we expect you back this year?
I mean, right now, when I first had the surgery, I was, you know, more optimistic, like, you know, we don't see. But I think where we are right now and what we need to happen for us to be able to take full advantage of, you know, the opportunity we've created with all the moves we made, I don't even think that's the play to make. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I ain't 1,000% sure, but I mean, at this point, I'm not sure how much sense it made.
Yeah. No, and that makes sense. And obviously, you had the opportunity to use all this time to get healthy. I think people don't realize you, like, how much you've been in the playoffs and how the toll that takes on your body. So I think it's great for you to get this rest. And speaking of the moves that y'all made and trading away Norman Powell and Robert Covington, and then, of course, obviously trading CJ away. And I know I've spoke to you about this before, just you and CJ. And I remember you telling me, like, no, me and CJ talk all the time, like, we know at some point this is going to happen. It's kind of just a matter of when it does happen. obviously it's happened now. How did you feel about the move? Where how you feel about what it was for CJ and him going to New Orleans and the type of situation it is for him? But then also what y'all got back and where that leaves y'all going forward?
Conversation going back, you know, 3-4 years, where it's like, I remember when we lost to New Orleans in the playoffs, it was like, man, I don't know what's going to happen at this point. We just got swept as a 3-seed. Like, we don't know what's going to happen, but we knew it was a possibility. And, you know, I think at that point we started to line our contracts up to where we was basically on the same time, you know, where like, all right, if something's going to happen, you know what I mean? Like, we was already aware of what the possibilities could be. And I think that's what being solid and, you know, really being partners is about, where it's like, we know that there's a possibility. Like, I'm never going to hang him out there, and I'm never going to know something and not go to him like, look, bro, I think something might go down or whatever, you know. So like 2 days before it happened, we talked on the phone for an hour, you know, like just talking about it. So you never, like, if it was going to be something where I was going to be moved and, you know, CJ knew about it, I would never want him to tell them like, no, don't do this. You know, I would want to be there on the strength of them wanting me to be there, as opposed to me being there on the strength of somebody making them make me be there. So, you know, and I know he feel the same way. So, you know, you get to a point where, you know, maybe something run its course, you know, and you gotta reroute yourself and try to figure out what's the best thing, what's the best angle to take at this point. And that's where that reached. And, you know, he went into a great basketball situation, you know, with B.I. and Zion and Valanciunas. And also, people don't realize how good CJ really is. I think that's another thing. It's like, they don't realize that how nice he really is. So, that shit was tough to deal with, bro. I ain't gonna lie. Like, I was, you know, when you know something could be coming and you know that it's a possibility, but when it happened, it's different. Like, damn.
Absolutely.
Like, and I kind of been stuck in that space the whole time. Like, I've been watching every game in New Orleans, like, damn, like, he really ain't coming back. You know, it's over. So that's kind of where I've been at. I still kind of haven't even really moved past it because I ain't had to play. So,
yeah.
Like, when I ain't had to get on the court and he ain't on the team no more, it's like, it'd probably take a little bit longer to be like, man, this shit really over, you know? So, you know, the end of an era, bro.
Absolutely. And I think, obviously, y'all had a great run. We met y'all in the Western Conference Finals and in other playoff series as well. But and looking back on these years, I think it's 9 years y'all played together. Or 8 years. I mean, 9 years as teammates, 8 years because of the injuries. But what was your favorite moment in playing with CJ that you can go back to and be like, that was the moment that we'll hold on to forever? Or is it just the relationship overall?
I'll say the relationship overall, because it was a lot of moments where I was just like, you know, that I think about and I'm like, damn. But I think the moment that I think back to is, and just because, like, even when CJ wasn't playing all the way up until last season, when COVID hit, me and CJ sat next to each other on the plane for the first 8 years we played together. We was like sitting right next to each other on the plane. So we used to watch film together. We used to listen to music right there. We used to be watching TV shows, like everything. Like, we used to sit right there next to each other. And when we made the first move, when, you know, LA left and Batum and Wes and Rolo and all them, when that team first broke up, CJ came in and he was like, bro, I got you. Like, we ain't about to just be trash. You know what I mean? Like, we probably ain't, it's going to take time, but like, I got you. And, I remember we like squeaked our way into the playoffs that year and we ended up being like a 5-seed or something like that. A 5-seed in 2016. It was my fourth year. And we played the Clippers in the first round. And in game four, CP and Blake got hurt. And then we tied the series up 2-2. And then we went to LA game five, won that one, was up 3-2. And then we closed them out in game six at home. And I just remember, like, walking off the court, and I turned around, and he was behind me, and And he just hugged me. And I was like, bro, we just won a playoff series, bro. The first year, like, we going to be all right. And I just remember, like, we embraced each other. And I was like, bro, we about to get some shit done. You know what I mean? Like, I'll never forget that. Because I was like, all right, you know, it's real. We really, mm-hmm. you know, as long as we can put it together, like, we got a chance. So,
And so in making those moves, I think y'all will have somewhere around $60 million or something like that in cap space. Like, you're turning 32, as I am turning 32 next month as well. The one thing you don't have on your side is time. And so you don't have, like, oh, man, I can watch this play out for 4 years or five and grow with this. Like, y'all have to go for it now. Do you feel confident in the team's plans? And what they want to do moving forward that's going to help you get what I ultimately know you want to get to, which is winning a championship in Portland.
Right. No, I think what we've done, bro, is put ourselves in a position we have not been in. I don't think here when we signed E.T., we signed Mo, we signed Chief. You know, we just signed a bunch of Myers, we signed a bunch of people. And we haven't been in this position, you know, with talent on the roster already since I've been here. You know, you look at what Anna's doing, and then you look at what Nas was doing before he got hurt. And then you add Nurk, like Josh Hart, Joe Ingles. Like, we got some pieces to the puzzle now that we just got to use what we have available to add to that. And it's just a matter of us being able to execute that, bro. We in play to get something done. And I trust the fact that we're going to be able to execute it, you know. And we just got to see where that land. That's where we at now. We just got to see where we land at the end of it, bro.
Absolutely. And I want to talk to you about a young point guard that I have that has earned gained a lot of respect from me. And I know how you are. Like, a lot of guys in this league, you really ain't rocking with. You kind of steady yourself. But I also know you do respect guys who get it out the mud. And another mid-level guy like yourself, mid-major guy like yourself played at the mid-major level, Ja Morant. What do you make of what he's doing with his team, especially at this stage in his career? Because not many people can really relate to what he's going to. Like, I can't, as much success as I had early on in my career, I can't tell you what Ja Morant is doing. And there's other guys in this league who's big time that can't either, that did it at the level that you've done it at as early in your career as you did, and now what he's doing. What do you think about what Ja doing and where he's falling in that pecking order of great point guards in the league?
No, I think he's rising quick. You know, and I think a few things, bro, from experience as a mid-major point guard, that ends up being a top pick in the draft and being a good NBA player, is that as a mid-major player, bro, you're playing with less talent than what everybody else played with. And you're learning early how to get the most out of that and how to make a team win without everybody just being nice. Everybody, you know, having the same ability that you have. So you got to learn how to lead. And that ain't always scoring all the points or getting a bunch of assists. You got to learn how to make people go. You got to learn how to make people, like, come along with you, like, and do everything they can to do have a part in winning. And I think you saw that, like, CJ did that. Kawhi did that. Steph did that. You know, it was like all of us that come from small schools, it's like we have that responsibility in college with less talented players. So when you come to the NBA and you playing with more talent and you got the ability yourself, like, you know how to make it happen. You know, it's one thing I know how to do, and that's make it happen. And I think a big factor in the level that you do that at is what are you surrounded with. Sometimes they get it right. Sometimes they don't, you know. Like, I feel like if I had the team that I came into the league with for two more years, I would be a champion already. If I played my fifth, sixth year with LaMarcus, Robin Lopez, Wes Matthews, Nick Batum, Mo Williams, like, if I still had all these dudes on my team as a six-year player, I would have won one. But you know, that didn't happen for a long enough period of time for me to come into, you know what I mean, what I was coming into. So for him, I think they've got it. You got Jaren Jackson. Mm-hmm. You got Steven Adams, an experienced center that's going to set screens, he's going to rebound, he's going to talk, he's going to be the enforcer. And then you got Dylan Brooks. Then you got Desmond Bane. Then you got Ja. And then you got Jones coming off the bench. And then you got
De'Anthony Melton.
Like, what's the athletic they be throwing a lob to?
Brandon Clark.
Like, they got it right. You know what I'm saying? So, mm-hmm. like, they got him, but they got everything else right. So now it's like, he got a shot. They just got to keep the team there. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I got a lot of love and respect for Ja. Like, the number one thing that I love is when I came in the league, like, and you was the same way. Like, people might not have liked you like that. Like, I don't think people dislike me. But when I came in the league, bro, I didn't have just no above and beyond respect for dudes like that. Like,
yeah.
I knew who was who, but I wasn't coming in bowing down. Like, my mentality was like, I can fuck with everybody. Like,
absolutely.
You might be more highly regarded or got a better body of work, but like, I'm not doing no bowing down to nobody. Like, and I feel that way to this day. And he has that about him, you know?
Like, absolutely.
He has that about him, like, ain't no bowing down. And I think that's my number one favorite thing about him.
Man, I absolutely love that, because the reality is you come in and you bow down to these guys who, you know, we've put ourselves in a position to now be those guys, right?
Yeah.
But you come in and you bow down to those guys, everyone's going to continue to follow that. Or if you give people something else to follow, they're going to follow that. And it's funny because I be talking to I talk to my fiance all the time, just sitting in the crib, and I was just be watching the game and start talking to her about, like, the games within the game, you know, or talking to my mom. And I remember I was telling my fiance the other day about the Bengals. I said, baby, the thing about this team is they're young and they're unfazed. When you're young and you're unfazed, a team go up 10, you just standing there like, you know, or
21-3 to the Chiefs, bro. And
absolutely.
They did not care, bro.
like they're not even really, they haven't been around long enough to even process how big that moment is.
Right.
And so for them, it's just like, oh, we down 21-3. What people don't understand is when the Chiefs are up 21-3, the Chiefs supposed to win that game.
Right.
So once they go 21-3, they get tighter than the opposing team.
Exactly.
In this situation was the Bengals. They get tighter and they like loose, like, nah, we good. Like, we just gonna keep playing. And so that's a good trait for a young team to have. And you only get that by having, in a lot of cases, actually a young leader, because he doesn't process what the moment is. And because he don't process what that moment is, everybody who follow him, they don't process what that moment is. And I was telling her the other day, I said, that was us my first year we won a championship. I'm in my third year, Clay in his fourth year. Steph's in his sixth year. But for Steph, his sixth year, the first 3 years of his career, he missed half of each one of the seasons down
there. First 4 years didn't count. Like,
yeah.
He didn't know what was going on either until the year. Who did y'all lose to, the Spurs, or did y'all lose to Denver?
Yeah, we lost to the Spurs in the second round after beating Denver.
Yeah. See?
And then that's when it was like, oh, man, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But even then, it's like, dang, we actually just did that. All right, let's see what we can do again, you know? And then we lose in 7 to the Clippers. And you're like, wait a minute. But then Mark Jackson get fired. And so you kind of go through that whole thing. But even then we get to my third year, and that's when we come into the season, we playing well. Steve Kerr first year, we playing well. We like, oh, okay. All right. And then you kind of win a couple games. And I remember the one game where we knew, like, okay. That's when we was playing at the Clippers, and Steph dropped CP with the double behind the back on the baseline. They were up 20 points that game. We came back and we won that game. And after that game, that was when, like, oh, no, like, we really supposed to be this good. But you go through that whole year, and you're not really processing how big those moments are. So we go up in the NBA Finals against Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James. LeBron know how big that moment is. Like, LeBron has to win that championship because he's LeBron James. We going in there like, man, what? Y'all see all these people around the court? This NBA Finals.
Right.
And you're almost dumb to what's going on. And I think that's where the Grizzlies are right now. And in large part due to all of those guys just follow Ja. And right. Ja out there like, I don't see none of y'all in front of me. I'm him. I'm that guy. And I just remember seeing a lot of that in yourself because I think LaMarcus him left after your second year?
After my third.
And you took on that team. Like, you had really already taken over the team, which is part of the reason I felt like he left, because he felt that switch in the organization. But you had already taken on that, and then now taking on the team by yourself. You know what he's going through. And so I think that's a dope thing to watch.
Yeah, it is, bro. Because you know, like, when it's infectious, like, even when it's not on purpose, people have, like, they start to just follow that energy, bro. Like, I came to Portland, bro. I came in here walking in the building, rapping on my phone with an instrumental playing and dancing. And you know what I'm saying? I brought something that felt like confidence and belief. You know what I mean? Absolutely. Whereas opposed to before that, it was kind of just quiet. And I'm also a little bit like on eggshells. And I had that, like, I didn't give a fuck. I was just like, I work hard. I do what everybody asks me to do. I don't be walking around like I run the place. I just do what I do. And it was a belief. People had belief in that. You know what I'm saying? So they definitely got that going on, bro. I can see it. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely. No, and so, and just speaking of mid-major guys who at some point obviously were overlooked, I think everybody thought, and you were outspoken about it, in 2016, 2017, when you were snubbed for the All-Star game both of those years.
Yeah.
And obviously you made All-Star every year since, except this year due to the injury. But, and being snubbed that way, I also thought last season, you should have been higher up. Like with the year that you had, you averaged 30-8. You shot 40% from three. I thought you should have been higher up in the MVP conversation, just based on what you were doing. And you know, when other guys get those numbers, you're talking MVP, runner up MVP right away. Didn't quite seem like the same to you. Do you feel like you still don't get the respect that I personally think you should get or that you think you deserve in this league and as far as what you've accomplished and how you go about your business and what you bring to the table every night?
I think I get the respect. I think people respect it. I just think that because what I do is not loud. My game is loud. Like, I have 60 and 10 and 7 and we'll win a bunch of games. Like, I have loud performances, but I'm not loud. I don't get on social media, say crazy shit. When stuff is happening, I don't respond crazy. Like, every once in a while, if I feel challenged or somebody, like, pushing the line on me, like they think something sweet, then I come back. I say something real aggressive, and then it'll be, like, a headline. You know what I mean? But, like,
absolutely.
Because I'm not outspoken about everything and I'm not loud, you know, I don't think that's really attractive. Like, I don't give them enough of a topic, you know, for them to be like, because in reality, it's like, for example, last season when y'all lost to the Lakers in the play-in game.
We lost to the Lakers, then the Grizzlies.
So last year, like, Steph going on his crazy run, right? Steph's going on a crazy run.
Absolutely.
Like, he's going crazy. Y'all lose to the Lakers, y'all lose to Memphis, but there is a significant amount of people out there saying, he should be MVP. You know what I'm saying? Like, and in my eyes, I'm like, he probably should be MVP. Like, he probably should be, because what he's doing is that crazy with what he's playing with.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I'm averaging 30 points, 8 assists, damn near 5 rebounds, 46% from the field, 40 from 3, 90 from the line. CJ missed 2 months. Nurk missed 2 months. Everybody done been hurt. We get to the playoffs. And it's like, yeah, Dame's having a great season, but they the 7th seed. They the 8th seed. So, like, I say that to say, bro, that, like, I get my respect, but people are going to respect what I've done and how consistent I've done it when I'm done playing more than they will now.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's a thing where, like, if I – when you say the truth, sometimes people say you crying. Like, you know what I'm saying? When you say the truth, it don't line up with what they want it to be, you crying. Or, oh, he's saying this or he's saying that. But, like, that's just the truth, bro. Like, I definitely should have been up there in that MVP, bro. They, like, when you weigh into, like, everybody's situation and what you're able to make happen, like, for us to get into the playoffs, bro, we had to really come from behind. And I'm coming out here, I had 60 against y'all. I had 60 against Brooklyn. I had 60 against Dallas, 50 against Philly, 50 against Denver, 50 against the Lakers. Like, bro, this is the season where I'm like player of the week, 52. I literally was averaging 52 points, 10 assists, and 8 rebounds for player of the week. Then the following week, I averaged 47 points with 10 assists and 9 rebounds. And it's like, had that been anybody else, they would have been ready to hand them the MVP, bro. Like,
absolutely.
I'm just saying, like, the shit is like, so for me, bro, I've accepted my place. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you ask like a lot of college players and like young players, like who you fuck with? Like, they fuck with me, bro. Because
absolutely.
Because they know I'm solid. I say what I mean. I mean what I say. I ain't no hater. I don't be jealous, bro. I just do what I do. But I do feel like what I do is not, it's respected, it's not appreciated and valued as it should be. Like, that's just what it is. That's what I see.
Do you think, and I actually agree with that 100%. I think in Steph's case, it could be a little different. But I'll ask you this question because I would love to hear your opinion. Do you think for Steph, it's viewed a little differently because he already has rings as opposed to not? Because, however, I think even in what you're saying, there are still other guys in this league that don't have rings, but they'll still get that nod. But I think in Steph's case, it could be a little different because he already had the rings. Do you feel that? Do you think that? Or am I a little off with that?
I mean, I don't think into it that deeply. You know what I'm saying? For me to weigh all of those things. Like, I always tell people, you know, like, people ask me, like, you know, what about this? Like, kind of like along the lines of what you're saying. What about Steph? What about this person? And I'll be like, at my position, Steph is the one person that I'm like, you can say what you want. Like, if you say, who's the best at this? Who's first like this? Steph is the one person that, like, I can accept coming behind. Because Steph came from a mid-major. Like, Steph went through injuries. Steph team struggled. Like, Steph is a 2-time MVP, 3-time champion. Like, I respect Steph. You know what I'm saying? Like, I take nothing away from Steph. I respect it 1,000%. But, like, after that, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't take a back seat after that. You know what I'm saying? Like, in our time. And I'm not talking about numbers or none of that. I'm just talking about lining it up. You know what I'm saying? And Kyrie, too. Like, people don't give Kyrie enough credit because they be worried about the wrong shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, they be worried. Absolutely. Them the ones. So, like, I don't really, like, I think it is, you know, certain people going to have certain things based off of what they've done, you know, what they've accomplished. But I think you got to, anytime you start to have these conversations, you got to weigh in the positions that everybody's been put in. Like, Look at who, look at everybody who, the teammates that everybody at the top have had.
Yeah. Okay.
Who has Steph played with? Who has Bron played with? Who have you played with? Who has AD played with? Who has Russ played with? Who has James played with? Who has CP played with? Like, if you look at everybody that all these guys have played with, everybody has played with each, with everybody has played with everybody,
mm-hmm.
and had a chance, and they didn't have to leave their teams for that to happen.
Yeah.
So some cases might be like, well, you could go and do this and go do that. But like, in many cases, nobody has had to do anything. They've been afforded these opportunities to play with the best. I have not.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, well, first off, how many All-Stars have you played with? One?
LaMarcus.
Two. LaMarcus. That's it.
That's it.
That's interesting.
LaMarcus was an All-Star. Me and LaMarcus was an All-Star my rookie year. And then my second and third year, we were All-Stars together, my second and third year. After that, I've not played with an All-Star. Rookie of the year, like none of that.
That's interesting. But do you think some of that has to do with where you play and getting guys to come to Portland?
I think part of it is that. But I mean, bro, people going to Oklahoma City, bro. Like, no offense, but like people going to Oklahoma City and people going to Milwaukee, and you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
Like,
Portland is a better city than both.
People are going places, and Portland ain't what people think it is. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been living here this long. You know what I'm saying?
Like, absolutely.
If you just couldn't live here, like, I wouldn't be living here this long, bro. So, like, I think that's part of it. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, people are going places that's like, you went there? You know what I mean? Like, Melo went to OKC.
Yeah.
When we was trying to get Melo to come here, ask Melo where he would go. Ask him where he would go first.
Me knowing Melo, I know what that answer would be.
Exactly, bro. Like, and I'll say this, bro, not just because of the living situation, but like, bro, people that play with me, bro, I don't play the game selfishly. I don't operate selfishly. Like, I want to see everybody having their way. I want to see everybody getting to be happy, do their thing, bro. And even on the court, I don't get in the way of that. I know how to do me while not getting in the way of everybody else having an opportunity. I'm not holding on to the ball until I can get an assist or a shot or all that, bro. I'm passing it in. I'm hockey assist, boom, boom. I'm making the right play. I ain't fucking walking around the facility and everywhere trying to run everything and have everything my way, bro. I play fair. So, like, when you consider all those things, like, come on, man. That can't be the reason. It's like, it sometimes, honestly, it looked like which route is the easiest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, over here, they got this dude and that dude. So if I go over there, and then when they get there, it's like, I ain't getting my shots. I ain't getting my numbers. I can't do me. And then you see them going somewhere else again. Like, bro, you could have just came and got with somebody that's going to, somebody that can meet you there. Like, I ain't trying to compete with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know how to win, bro, and I know how to get along with people and make shit work. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know, bro. Like,
do you think? I'd be looking
like, bro, they're just going everywhere, bro. Like, they go to all kind of places, so that can't be the reason.
Yeah, that's true. But tell me this. Do you think, like, what's made you greater and who you are is, I think you have the toughness that you have, like, but you're very silent. So, you know, if you don't know, you can mistake you for not being the alpha that you are, you know, if you don't know, because you don't say much, like you said. Do you think in your career that's maybe hindered you a little bit from the standpoint of, like, most guys in your position are constantly telling a GM what they should do, you know, or hey, you got to give me this or you got to do that or you need to move this guy. Like, that's, I don't think that's no secret. Everybody always talk about LeBron and like, hey, Bron, I'm about to trade you. But the, but the reality is, guys who are in the in that position and you are the face of franchises, you do have that power to go to a GM and say, hey, I need you to move this guy. I need you to go after that guy. You're not quite like that just because you're going to take whatever situation you've given and treat it like I'm still growing up in Brookfield. And if I can make it out of that, I can push through this. Do you think that's hindered you in a sense of like, yeah, you're always going to get your team there. You haven't been able to get over the hump. And I think that's for way more reasons than people are going to attribute it to. But do you think that's played a part in it?
I think that's definitely played a part in it because, you know, I think the solid parts of me are like, I can't go in there and say, do this and do that and be, you know, putting other people's lives and their families and their situation just out like it ain't nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've never felt comfortable operating like that. But, you know, before now, I reached a point where I knew that I can't ask the team to say, you know, give me an opportunity to win and then not be willing to deal with the, you know, the hurt that comes with that. You know what I'm saying? And that don't mean I'm going in there telling them do this or do that, but I'm telling them like, man, if y'all, you know, I'm not gonna tell y'all what to do. Like, but I'm also not gonna tell y'all, you know, stop y'all from doing y'all job. Like, I want y'all to give us a chance to win. You know, so like that's my stance. Is like, give us a chance to win. Like, don't feel like, oh, we gonna, you know, Dame is gonna be mad or anything like that. Cause there's been plenty of times like throughout my time in the league where I was like, man, Mo Williams is my guy. Like, mm-hmm. to this day, we didn't bring him back. Mm-hmm. D-Rob was my guy. Like, none of this stuff goes over easy. So it's just like, they know where I stand. Like, give us a chance to really win. So I do think that has played a part, you know, probably in it because you just, but another thing is I don't think being an alpha to me don't mean to be like the person, the loudest one, telling everybody everything. Like, to me, being an alpha, like, is the presence. You know, the presence of an alpha is more known than anything. And I don't think anybody that's been around, like, anybody that's been around, they'll know, like, you know, I ain't know that was there. You know what I'm saying? Until they see it's there. And then they be like, it all makes sense now. So like, that's been my stance. But I do think, you know, for a long time in my career, I took too much of a stance of like, you know, I can't, you know what I mean? I don't want to see that happen type thing when it's like, man, you know, you can't want to win and then also want everything to be all peachy, you know what I mean? It don't work like that.
No, absolutely. Because ultimately it's a business and you have to make those decisions best for the business. Like, I know, for instance, right? Like, to this day, Harrison Barnes, I've actually never spoke on this before, but Harrison Barnes, I think to this day still don't like me for KD coming here. And the reality is, bro, it's like, I didn't tell him to trade you to bring KD in. Now, the reality is, if KD did come in and you were still here, you would have had to come off the bench. It's fucking Kevin Durant. And, like, it just is what it is. If you were still here, I didn't tell them to trade you. But he took it very personally because of the story that came out that I cried to KD in the car or whatever. Right. Like, he took it very personally at me. And so, for instance, this dude invite Steph Nim this way, Steph Clay, everybody at his wedding except me. Like, bruh.
Bruh. You ain't get invited to the wedding, bro?
All these dudes was at the same meeting that I was at with KD. They was all there too. You know what I'm saying? However, I didn't take it personally because it is what it is. Like, I wasn't invited to your wedding. Now it is what it is. I thought it was funny. I thought it was funnier than anything. I thought it was funnier than anything. But in that same light, it's like, it sucks that you got traded, but you went and made your money. You know, you went and got a great deal. You're still making money. But I did get two championships. And again, I did that. I didn't go in there and ask them to trade Harrison Barnes. I didn't do that. But I did have a conversation with him about how much Kevin Durant could help us.
Right.
What move happened after that ain't my job. Like, that ain't really what I do. That's not my job. But I do think Kevin Durant can make us better. And so it seems like now with y'all current GM and the route y'all going now, that you're taking more of an approach of like, hey, man, I'm trying to win.
Yeah.
As opposed, and you've always had that approach on the court, but now in those in the decision making around the team.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's kind of like what you were saying, where it's like, man, you gotta to actually win, it's like you can't just go on the court and think, all right, I'm just gonna play great and it's gonna happen, because some people just built better than you're built. You know what I'm saying? Like, I never went on a court one game where I was like, we about to lose, literally. Like, we played the Lakers New Year's Eve, and, you know, we had 8 players out with COVID, and they had Brown on the run, Russ, they out there, you know, they was flowing. And we went out there, I'm like, we about to win tonight. I really thought that in my head, we about to win tonight. We get blew out. I re-aggravate my abdominal, and I'm like walking off like the way they walked on the court when we was about to do the tip, like they walked out there like the champs. And we walked out there and I'm like, you know, the underdogs. It felt like and looked like the underdogs. And at that moment I was just kind of like, man, I wanna, like, it's time for me to, you know, have that feeling of walking out there and feeling like the champ, like we really got it. You know what I mean? Like, that's what, and I remember looking at them walk on the court and they was walking out there like, and they didn't even have AD, but it was like, they walked out there like that. And it was, to me, it was just like, man, I gotta be in a position to win it. You know what I'm saying? So that don't mean I'm gonna go in there and say, you know, trade everybody. Like, I didn't even, When we made the move to the Clippers, I knew after, but like I said, it was the thing of like, I'm not gonna stop y'all from doing what y'all think is gonna make our team better. So, you know, that's where it's at, bro. And now we in position to do that. So, you know, we just gotta execute that plan to make some shit happen.
I think you just said something that really sticks out to me, because in being in the position I've been in my first couple of years, obviously we made the playoffs, and then the 5 years after that, we went to the finals. You tend to take that for granted, you know? And I think for me, in all of those years of knowing, like you just said, and walking in and saying, yo, like, we're going to win today. Like, there were times during our season where we would say, hey, yo, let's approach these next 3 weeks like the playoffs. Let's lock in. We need to hit these things and work on these things to get great. And like, in those 3 weeks, we'll go 11-1, like 12-2, like, and that's like getting up for regular season games. But you know, you get the old cliche saying like, you can't flip it on or flip it off. Like, that saying is cliche. But the reality is, for our teams, it was true. Like, we could click it on and off. Like, hey, yo, stop playing. Let's go. Like, let's go beat them. Or walk into walking into an arena like, hey, yo, we need to send a message to them and we win by 20. You know, it's like, and then two seasons ago, last year was rough. I mean, it was better. But two seasons ago, and walking in every arena and knowing like, yo, we don't have a chance to win. Like, it was the most unnatural, mind-boggling thing to me. I lost love for basketball. So people were like, yo, he washed up, he this. I'm like, you want me to get excited to go play in this game? We 7-39, bro. Like, how am I supposed to get excited and to go play in this game? Like, I can't begin to even think about getting excited. If we win, we are moving to a whopping 8-39. Like, you can't possibly think I care about this game. And so that really stuck out to me when you said, like, you never felt like you were going to lose until you was like, damn, like, we can't win.
It's like it's, I mean, we in the middle of COVID. I'm looking, I'm like, I think we're probably 6 games under .500. And I'm just like, I ain't healthy. You know, I'm just like, I'm putting it all together. Like, bro, I'm really like in pain. I just, you know, I done did these cortisone shots and I felt good for about 10 games, just wearing off. Like, I just was sitting there. I'm like, man, I want to walk on the court and look like the team looking at us like, we got to be, it's got to be our night tonight to beat them. You know what I'm saying? Like, so yeah, bro, hopefully we can make this happen, bro.
Absolutely. And I've held you long enough. I can sit here and talk to you all day because it's just me talking to the homie. But moving off the court, obviously you said your rehab is going well. We all know what you do in your spare time, Dame Dolly. You've been in the studio a lot. You got some new music coming. Like, what's the deal on that side?
Yeah, bro. I got some, I got a lot of new shit. The stuff that I did. It's some stuff that people haven't heard. Some of the stuff I sent you during during the Olympics and stuff that I still ain't put up. And I even did more since then. But I got a lot of stuff. All the stuff that I'm trying to put together for, like, you know, post-career, end of career, just stuff that I want to, you know, do the groundwork for, so it's already done. So I ain't, you know, sitting here trying to put it together at the end. Now that I got this time, I've just been, you know, planting those seeds, getting all that stuff ready that I want to do. And I'm also about to get back to, I'm about to restart. I did this series on YouTube during the draft, bro, called License to Lillard. And that shit was big during that time. Like, it was getting, a lot of people was following it. The whole 10 years we've been in the league, I be getting like tweets all the time. Like, when you going to start back License to Lillard? So like, I'm about to pick that shit back up and start putting those back out. I think that's going to be cool. So that's probably like the main thing I've been getting ready for.
And what will License to Lillard look like now? Will it include your family? Is it just like hoop? Is rap? Is it like...
It's gonna be everything. Like, it's gonna be everything, bro. Like, it was a lot of stuff that coming from Weber State, all that basically making myself known. And I think now we'll probably started just kind of reflecting, you know, just all the way up to this point, just all this shit that then took place that I never kind of, you know, when you're in the middle of something, you don't really realize how big it is, or like,
absolutely.
So, like, it'll be just reflecting on that stuff. Because now that I'm sitting still, I'm just looking at stuff like, damn, like, I still feel like my absolute best are coming in the next 3 years, bro. Like, I really feel that in my heart and in my body. Like, I didn't know how hurt I was, bro. It's crazy. Like, but just being able to reflect on like all that stuff to this point and just going through the process, just keeping, you know what I mean? And just keeping people in the loop, tapping in, it's going to be smooth.
And you spoke on what you're setting up post-career. What does that look like for you? Is it trying to make one of the top labels? Is it trying to be a number one charting artist? What is that? Is there some mixture of both? What does that look like for you post-career, post-basketball career?
On the music side, it ain't really so much my music. I'm going to still be recording, but it's more creating opportunities for other aspiring artists. Like, that's what I'm going to do. I ain't really tripping on my own stuff when I'm done playing. It'll be just lining other artists up. But the main thing, bro, is just putting together these... it's just empowering the youth. Like, I got a couple situations that I haven't finished set in stone, so I don't want to put nothing out there like that. Mm-hmm. But I got some stuff that I'm going to be doing, bro, that's going to be different. It's going to be different. It ain't going to be the typical money grab for show. Like, oh, this is what this is. It ain't going to be none of the fake shit. It's going to be... authentic. It's going to be something that, you know, it's going to be something for real. You know what I mean? It's going to be truth telling, like character building type stuff where it's like, I don't need nobody's money, bro. Like, I don't need nobody's approval or nobody's validation. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the real from what I know and what I experienced. And people that also come from that same angle is going to be a part of it. It's going to be a real thing, bro.
Man, I'm looking forward to that. I think speaking on things that you've done, one thing I appreciated that you used to do, and I think you should bring it back. If you do bring it back, obviously, you know, I would always attend, but if I can help with any way, I would love to. But I definitely think you should bring back the block party you used to do. I thought that was super dope. And I think for even speaking for myself, we get so busy, you know, and so into our own lives, you know, that things like that, like the block party you used to do, or like, for instance, for myself, like I used to do this camp in my hometown. I haven't done it in years now because you get busy, right? You start having kids. You got a wife. Like, I got a wife. I got kids. You get these 2 to 3 months off. And I don't think people really understand how special and precious a day or two is. You know, when you have 67 days off, right, like that 1 or 2 days, and then for the next 280 or 278, whatever.
Basketball.
288, actually, something like that. My math's a little off right now, but that's not the point. The point is, that day becomes so much more precious because now it's the travel. And so it's not just that 4 hours that the block party could be going on. It's everything you're doing to set it up. It's getting there the day before. It's you're probably there a day after. Now that's 3 days of 67 gone.
Yeah.
And so I do understand. And I think for myself too, like I've been exploring things of what can I start back doing back for my hometown? The reality is it probably won't be the camp because I don't have the time
right.
to necessarily go do a camp. Like I didn't stop doing that because I was just like, oh, I'm over it. Like, no, you just kind of run out of time. And so if that's something that I think that you should do again, and I would love to be involved, even like in moving us over to San Francisco, like I always tell people, Oakland is home for me, man. Like right. that's my second home. I really grew into manhood in Oakland, you know what I'm saying? And so I have a soft spot for there. But as you know, I mean, I don't care what no one say, Oakland and San Francisco are two totally different places. And when you live in San Francisco, you're not in Oakland much. Just like when I lived in Oakland, I was hardly ever in San Francisco, you know? And so I've kind of lost touch over there too. And I want to put my hands back on that community because I know how special and important that community was to me and who I am, as I want to do that again in my hometown as well. So just something I would love to see you do, my brother.
Yeah.
I thought it was amazing.
I'm going to definitely bring it back. I think the last 2 years we haven't done it because of COVID, but I'm definitely going to bring that back for sure. Because I brought it back from when I was a kid when they used to have it, bro. Like, they used to have that when I was a kid. That's what made me do it anyway, because they hadn't had it since I was like 9 or 10. So,
wow.
They stopped letting us have it because people start, the last time they had it, it was like they start shooting and all type of shit, bro. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Like,
no doubt. But I think that's what the power of your name, you know, and then you bring in some of your teammates, you brought me.
Yeah.
That's a different thing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's like one of your own. Bringing something back, people right. don't come on that same thing. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
So, nah, it's a beautiful thing, bro. But I truly appreciate you coming on the show, man. Obviously, always wishing you a speedy recovery. I can't wait to see you get back. I was dying this year watching you come out and score 14, and everybody like, oh, Dame ain't got it here. And I'm just sitting there like, hey, man, get this surgery, bro. Like, these people pissing me off talking now.
Hey, bro, but look, though, like, they're going to always talk. Like, it's, it's some people that know the truth and some people that don't. Bro, I don't really care. I mean, obviously, we all care what people have to say, mm-hmm. but you got to take it with a grain of salt. Like, if you know their understanding of what's actually happening is so little, then you then what they're saying and their lens on what's happening is understood. Like, I understand. They're used to me scoring 30 points every game. And they're used to me blowing by people and dunking and step back left, step back right, and all that stuff. And when you don't see it happening, they're like, oh, he washed. And he came. They ain't missed this, that. And I'm like, bro, I'm a healthy 31. I ain't gonna beat up 31. I'm a healthy 31 years old. I've never missed games like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't live a hard life, bro. I don't be out partying all the time and getting high and drinking and all that, bro. I be chilling. I take care of myself. So, like, they're only giving me more power at the end of the day, because now that I am fully healthy and I have not given them a single excuse, like, I have not given them a single excuse. So now that I'm fully healthy, they're going to see. And when they see, they're going to be like, they just going to look stupid. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're going to look stupid, and it'll be like, damn, like, and ain't nobody going to tell them take nothing back. You said this, but what about, they just going to act like that never happened. Like, they act like they never said a thing. That's the funniest shit in the world to me. They going to act like nobody said a thing. And it's like, all right, we going
to see. No, man, I definitely appreciate it. I've never seen a job that people could just make bold ass statements and not be held accountable for it.
And just say stuff and like, and look, let me say this before we go. They had so much to say all year. I 24 points, 24 and a half points and 7 assists, bro. Like, y'all hear people in the All-Star game and giving praise to all these people that are not even doing that.
Yeah. So
how great do I have to be? How great am I if that's really what y'all, you know what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely.
I want to shoot the greatest percentage and all that, but like, bro, you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
People not doing that. So it is what it is, bro. Like, we'll see.
No, that's facts, man. Many people has done it. Not many has done it the way you have, bro. Like, from coming from where you come from, the way you go about your business. I think people can say what they want, and people on the outside always going to have something to say. I always say the ultimate respect for me and the ultimate acceptance that I look for and I appreciate is the acceptance of my peers. And I don't think there's a guy in this league that will have anything to say about you, how you go about your business, how you handle yourself, would be any different than what people see.
Right.
And how you carry yourself. It's the same across the board. And I got nothing but respect and love for that, bro. I appreciate you coming on the show. Like I said, we looking forward to you getting back healthy, my dog.
Appreciate it, bro. You get healthy too, bro.
Yes, sir. Soon come. That's a wrap. Dame Dollar, Draymond Green Show. We out.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen.
It's up, it's up.
And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.